Tennessee baseball season has come to an end in upset fashion. The Volunteers failed to make it to Omaha as the number one overall seed. I'll tell you why that's not an uncommon occurrence. I'll tell you why it's a disappointment. And I'll also tell you why this is one of the best Tennessee baseball teams in program history. How did it happen? I'll tell you right now on Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome into a new week, and we're right here at it on Locked On Vols. Thanks so much for hanging out, making Locked On Vols your first listen, your first watch each and every day. And today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. It's got you covered this season with more props and odds and lines than ever before. BetOnline.net, it is where the game starts. I am Eric Kane, your host here on Locked On Vols. Thanks so much for hanging out with me each and every morning. I promise you, the interaction on Twitter, the interaction on YouTube, it means more to me than you'll ever know in your support. Thank you so much. Of course, you can follow this podcast wherever you find your podcast and on YouTube, and you can find it on Twitter at underscore Kaner and at Locked On Vols. Before we get into today's show, reminder, tomorrow's Twitter Tuesday. I'm sure all you guys following the baseball season have a lot to get off your chest. Feel free, underscore Kaner at Locked On Vols. Also, a big recruiting weekend in the rearview mirror now. So any questions you have on Tennessee football, recruiting, baseball, basketball, whatever you have, shoot them at me at underscore Kaner and at Locked On Vols. We'll hit it on tomorrow's Twitter Tuesday edition of the show. So today we're going to cover how Tennessee lost to Notre Dame in the Super Regionals. We're going to hear from Ben McKee, my conversation with him at Lindsey Nelson Stadium after the game Sunday evening. And of course, I want to discuss this. Is this a failed season? Because I keep hearing championship or bust all season long. And let's get into it. That's coming up in segment three. So this is a baseball-heavy show. For those of you that don't care about baseball, I do apologize. We'll get back to the normal programming of football-centric tomorrow. But, I mean, Tennessee was the best baseball team in the country this year, and it came up short of Omaha. So that's what we're going to spend our show discussing here on a Monday. All right, Tennessee falls to Notre Dame Sunday, 7-3 the final score. Quickly, let's recap how we got here. Friday, Tennessee came out. I should rather say Notre Dame came out guns a blazing. All right, homered in the first four innings of this ball game, led 8-1 at one point in this ball game. To Tennessee's credit, it came back. It scored a couple of runs. It made it a very close game. In fact, it cut it to within 2 runs in the ninth inning, 3 runs in the eighth inning. But ultimately, Tennessee fell by the score of, I believe it was 8-6 Friday night, and Tennessee fell behind 0-1 and on the brink of elimination on Saturday afternoon. A bigger story from that night, if you even want to say a bigger story from Tennessee losing and falling the first game to Notre Dame in Super Regionals, was the fact that Drew Gilbert was tossed, ejected for arguing balls and strikes, and that means he would have to sit out the Saturday contest for Tennessee. Frank Anderson, Tennessee's pitching coach, came out to argue slash get Drew Gilbert back, and because he came off the bench and was arguing, he got ejected, and since he was already ejected one time this season, he was forced to sit for a 3-game suspension. So heading into Saturday on the brink of elimination, Tennessee was without arguably its best player, Drew Gilbert, its center fielder and cleanup hitter. And mind you, Drew Gilbert, the guy that led the SEC in average this year at the plate, and without its pitching coach, Frank Anderson. All Tennessee did was come back, take an early lead, and then storm through in the fifth inning, batted around and scored, I believe it was 7 or 8 runs. I don't have the box score in front of me, but you had Luke Lipsius that homered twice in that inning. You had Evan Russell that homered. You had Jordan Beck. I've covered baseball all season long. You guys have heard me talking about it. In the first 2 minutes of the show, I've mixed up Drew Gilbert and Jordan Beck's names twice already. Jordan Beck had a 3-run homer and a bat slam, and Tennessee, behind the strong effort of its bats and a brilliant effort of Chase Dolander on the mound, Tennessee even the series at 1-game apiece with a massive, I think it was 12-4 final on Saturday. So that set up a do-or-die, you know, winner going to Omaha, loser going home showdown in Game 3 of the Super Regionals. Tennessee didn't have a great pitching performance from Blade Tidwell on Friday. Tennessee had an amazing pitching performance from Chase Dolander on Saturday. It turned to Chase Burns, the freshman All-American, and he pitched an absolute gem for 6 innings and 1/3 on Sunday. Cruised through 6 innings. Yeah, sure, Tennessee scored first. Luke Lipsius had a home run to right field to take a 1-0 lead in the first inning. Notre Dame bounced back, grounded at a run in the second inning. It was 1-1. Tennessee took a one-run lead in the fifth inning whenever it was Seth Stevenson that doubled down the left field line and drove in Cortland Lawson. So Tennessee was leading by a score of 3-1, actually took the lead again in the bottom of the second inning, that was with Seth Stevenson. And then it was Stevenson again that doubled down the line in the later in the fifth inning to give Tennessee a 3-1 lead. So Seth Stevenson was big for Tennessee on Sunday, drove in the second run of the day and the third run of the day, and Tennessee led 3-1 entering the top of the seventh. And that's where it went a little awry for Chase Burns, okay? He was pitching. He had a 1-2-3 inning in the sixth. He got Notre Dame's best batter out that continued to give Tennessee problems all weekend long. And then he gave up a home run that allowed it to tie the game at 3-3. He then gave up another home run that allowed Notre Dame to take a 4-3 lead to Jeff Brannigan. In comes in Kirby Cannell out of the bullpen to try to aid Chase Burns, and he gives up a 2-run double to Putz, and Notre Dame takes a 7-3 lead, or 6-3 lead, and actually they added one more on in the eighth inning as well, and that's where it was 7-3. Tennessee tried to come back in innings 8 and 9, but ultimately it could not, and Tennessee falls by a score of 7-3 to Notre Dame. Drew Gilbert was back for this game, playing center field and hitting fourth in that lineup. Again, I thought Chase Dolander, he had a marvelous game with the exception of that terrible seventh inning, okay? He went 6 2/3. He surrendered 4 earned runs off 5 hits, 5 strikeouts, and 1 walk. Had 92 total pitches. He had a little over 70 pitches heading into the seventh inning. That's good. Let's look at the play chart here in that seventh inning so I make sure that I get it correct. He struck out the first batter of the inning, okay? And then Putz doubled down the left, center field. And then he got a second out of an inning, okay? And then he gave up a home run and then a consecutive home run in that frame before Cannon Sewell came in to relieve Chase Burns. Sewell pitched a little bit, and then, of course, it was Kirby Cannell that came in the rest of the way. So, and Redmond Walsh actually came in and pitched an inning as well. So he looked good on Sunday. He really, really did. But he left him in just a little bit too long, that being Tony Vitello. And he admitted to that afterwards. He said, hey, there's been, circumstances to where I've went and got a guy, mid at bat. Maybe I should have done that. Credit Notre Dame for making me second guess myself now. But he essentially said, hey, when you're in this position, you got to make big boy decisions. And it's because of my game management that I didn't put my players in the best position to win today. Tony Vitello took ownership to that. And of course, you see on social media, you see on message boards and everybody saying, blame Tony. It is what it is. You're the head coach of a number one program and you fall short. And so the blame ultimately falls on your shoulders. And he took the credit for that on Sunday in that 7-3 loss. Tennessee scraped across a run in the first, scraped across a run in the second, scraped across a run in the fifth. And then the wheels fell off. 6 combined runs in innings 7 and 8 for Notre Dame, who finished the day winning 7-3, 7 runs off 8 hits. Tennessee, 3 runs off 5 hits and 2 errors. Tennessee played very sloppy defense. Very sloppy defense all weekend long. And that's very uncharacteristic like of these Volunteers because they've been one of the better defending teams all season long. But that's how it happened. Notre Dame is a good ball club. It swept its way through the Statesboro Regional. It's a team that arguably should have been hosting a regional to begin with. Had a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, mind you. And it came to Knoxville, and it came out firing, wasn't afraid of anything on Friday night. Back down a little bit on Saturday when Tennessee came storming back, and it came alive on Sunday, and it came back in late inning heroics like Tennessee's done so many times in this postseason and in Hoover here recently in the last couple of weeks. Notre Dame did it. Notre Dame's a good ball club. Give them credit. But ultimately, that's how it falls, and it is disappointing. It's a little bit disappointing this year because you are the number one team in the country. You went wire to wire almost. You weren't ranked number one to begin, but it didn't take you long to get that number one ranking. And, of course, you failed to make it to Omaha. The winner of this game was going to go into Omaha. So I'm going to give you a lot of my thoughts in segment 3 coming up on, is this a failure of a season? Spoiler, I will never use the word failure of a season. I just won't. And I'll tell you why in segment 3. That's coming up later in the show. Coming up next in segment 2, went there, covered the game, and, covering a football camp on campus on Sunday. Went over, talked with Ben on the field. We did a stand-up for VolQuest.com. A lot of you guys who are VolQuesters might have already seen it. It's around the horn, but I'm going to play my conversation with Ben McKee. Ben McKee is the best Tennessee baseball reporter in the markets. He did fantastic work all season long. You guys know Ben. I have him on the show all the time, and you guys might see us on VolQuest together and, you know, hear us on the Diamond Balls podcast and all that. We did a stand-up. I'm going to play that stand-up with Ben from just after Sunday's loss, and I'm going to allow you to hear his thoughts immediately after the loss. A lot of good stuff from Ben McKee, and that's coming up here in segment number two. But first, guys, BetOnline, it continues to be your number one source for all your sports betting, stats, and sports information. Find all the latest sports developments, news, and odds, including this year's basketball championship matchup, the NHL Hockey Finals, Major League Baseball, and of course the latest fighting from MMA and the UFC, all the way to boxing. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and a whole lot more. Head on over to the website today or use your mobile device. Learn about all the latest trends and all of the action. BetOnline.net. It is where the game starts. All right, boys and girls, we're back here on a Monday Lockdown Vols. Tuesday's tomorrow, and that'll be Twitter Tuesday, so get me in all your questions, your comments, and your concerns on Tennessee football, basketball, recruiting, baseball, whatever you got. See, that was a nice little segue. I made a mistake, had a nice little segue into what I was trying to say. The Ultimate NBA Mock Draft starts June the 16th with over 50 insiders. Nothing equates to the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft on the Locked On NBA Big Board Draft Experts, plus the Odyssey Insiders. First pick is June 16th. Search Ultimate NBA Mock Draft and follow now so you don't miss a pick. All right, so I teased it there to wrap up the first segment. Ben McKee, this is my conversation with him for VolQuest.com. This is minutes after Tennessee's 7-3 loss to Notre Dame Sunday evening that ultimately ended Tennessee's season. I want you to hear Ben's thoughts. I set him up for a lot of questions. A lot of good stuff here from Ben. The reaction, what he thinks, looking ahead, looking back, the season as a whole. Here's my conversation with Ben McKee.
Ben, Chase Burns, cruising, a great effort. In comes in the seventh inning, and that's when everything kind of broke loose.
Yeah, Chase Burns was really good. He lasted 6.2 innings, and he was good for 6.1, and I guess technically all 6.2 innings of that. He got the two outs there in the seventh, and then it just kind of spiraled out of control for him. And look, I know everybody's mad at Tony for not pulling him earlier than people think. And look, Tony Vitello probably should have pulled Chase Burns earlier than he did, but that's not the reason Tennessee lost today. That is not the reason Tennessee lost at all. You had some very critical defensive mistakes, and yes, Notre Dame did hit the two home runs to win the game, but the one that tied it, the two-run shot, a lot of talk about Lindsey Nelson Stadium, especially from Notre Dame's standpoint. That was a Lindsey Nelson Stadium home run into the Tennessee bullpen. It wasn't that bad of a pitch, and the catcher, who had had one home run and 139 at-bats this season, flips it into the Tennessee bullpen. Lindsey Nelson Stadium got Chase Burns there to tie the game, and you probably should have. The right decision was probably to pull Chase Burns at that point, but Tony Vitello after the game, and I agree with him, Chase Burns had just gotten out. Notre Dame's best hitter, Jared Miller. And again, the pitch on the two-run home run wasn't a bad pitch. And then Brannigan, the third baseman, got him pretty good. I don't. That's not the reason Tennessee lost. That's the storyline from today. But Chase Burns, really good up until that point, was cruising along. One walk on the day. I don't know what the hits allowed were before the seventh inning, but not very many of them. Five strikeouts. He looked good.
He had 1-2-3 inning in the sixth too. So
yes, he had just got done with 1-2-3 inning. Definitely should have come back out. Again, maybe you pull him a batter sooner. Or here's probably when you should have pulled him. And Tony Vitello admitted this: is Jack Brannigan, who hit the home run to give Notre Dame a 4-3 lead. He had just hit a home run that was barely foul.
Yeah.
And Tony Vitello, as different times this year, has gone to the bullpen mid at bat. So maybe that was the chance to do it there. So again, yes, Tony probably should have pulled Chase Burns earlier than he did as the win takes over here. But not the reason Tennessee lost is my point. And I'm emphasizing that because based off of the little bit that I've seen here and there, social media and the board is losing its mind over Tony Vitello. Tony Vitello, not the reason Tennessee lost today.
Listen, give Notre Dame credit. Came back, won this baseball game.
Really good team.
Really good team, absolutely. But, Ben, I mean, there's disappointment here. And we can talk ad nauseum as the days progressed. I'm a Vols podcast and more. Just, you know, the vibe, not a good one. I understand that. But anything from Tony and the players in post-game after this one?
Yeah, just really hurt. And I thought Tony Vitello said a cool thing that the players are more upset with not getting the job done today in this individual game than coming up short and not winning the national championship, not making it to Omaha. Obviously, as you get away from this individual game, that sting will set in, especially as they, I'm sure, watch the College World Series this upcoming week. It'll really start to set in that they should have been there. So it was a great season, a very disappointing end, and I think just trying to collect their thoughts, and it wasn't anything out of the box, nothing that really stood out. Obviously, there was a lot of pain, and I thought you could tell that Tony Vitello was trying to keep his emotions in check, and you could tell that he was really hurt. Just not that he and his program didn't make it to Omaha, but hurt for a great group of guys that had a tremendous amount of success this season.
Yeah, at the end of the year, you know, that last game is the last time this collection of players will be together for a game, right? And, I mean, you might have a big group coming back one year to the next. I mean, there's going to be some guys that are off from this team that won't come back next year, and that's part of it. But that's where the hurt come from, I do believe. Ben, when you look back on this season, you know, 5-10 years down the line, what's something you'll remember from this edition of Tennessee baseball?
Yeah, that it was one of the best seasons in Tennessee baseball history. Very disappointing end. This is a team that should have gotten to Omaha, but again, like we talk about with the basketball tournament in the NCAA, and like you and I talked about with the baseball tournament, it's hard, man. Tennessee made it to the Elite Eight and faced a team, a program that probably should have been hosting this postseason. So when you look back on this team, I'm sure especially those outside of Knoxville, they'll immediately point to how they came up short and didn't even make it to Omaha. But there's so much to be proud of if you're a Tennessee fan or one of the players on this team. You win the SEC baseball tournament for pretty much the first time ever, in its current format at least. And number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament, that's a result of what you did throughout the regular season. And outside of one weekend up in Lexington, I mean, Tennessee dominated from start to finish, and regular season champs, tourney champs, and it was really, really a great season. But obviously there's going to be a lot of disappointment because the ultimate goal was to make it to Omaha and win a national championship.
And again, that's fair. That's fair anytime you come up short of your goal, anytime you come up short of the College World Series. But I do think the biggest takeaway, at least from me, and this isn't any breaking news here on this day, but if you didn't know before, you know, Tennessee baseball has arrived. You are contending for berths in the College World Series, Omaha, you know, winning conference titles, hosting regionals, hosting super regionals. So Tennessee baseball certainly has arrived, and you know, now you flip the page on this season, you look ahead to next season, but obviously a lot of good memories.
Yeah, for sure. Tennessee baseball's not going anywhere. Tennessee baseball arrived last year, and there's going to be a lot of guys off of this year's team that are going to be missed. You think of Blake Tidwell, you think of Jordan Beck, Trey Lipscomb, Evan Russell, Luke Lipsius, Drew Gilbert, Ben Joyce. There's a lot of guys that are going to be missed off of this baseball team. There are. But Tennessee's got a lot coming back next year, too. A lot of guys coming back next year. Think about it. You've got Chase Dolander, the SEC Pitcher of the Year. He's coming back. Chase Burns, who was dominant in a winner-take-all Game 3.
As a true freshman,
he's coming back. You'll know he'll be better. Drew Beam, SEC Freshman of the Year. He'll be back. And Tennessee obviously hitting up the transfer portal as well. Blake Burke, Christian Moore, Jared Dickey, Seth Stevenson, who knows, maybe a Jarrell Ortega and Cortland Lawson end up back as well. I think Camden Sewell could possibly be back. So there's going to be a lot of great players back next season as well, and they'll have just as good of a chance next year to make it to Omaha as they did this year.
All right, guys, we got a final segment left here on this Monday edition of Locked On Vols. Thanks so much for hanging out with me here today and making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every single day. So, we've heard from Ben McKee, his thoughts on Tennessee's season coming to an end. I gave you the rundown on how it happened on Sunday and kind of an overview of Notre Dame and kind of how the weekend went on in Super Regional play. And now we're going to have a hard conversation here, all right? Is this season a failure? So many times I heard championship or bust. Well, in that term, Tennessee busted, right? It did not make it to Omaha. It failed to reach the College World Series. Does that make this season a failure? I'm asking you. Here's what I believe. Now, and I've been pretty consistent with this, I do believe, in all my talks on the radio, on the Diamond Balls podcast, on the VolQuest podcast, of course, on Locked On Vols. I think I've been pretty consistent, and I'm not going to waver here. And I asked Ben this in segment two, and he gave you his answer, and I'll give you mine right now. In 5 to 10 years, when I look back on this 2022 Tennessee baseball team, the first word that will come to mind is disappointing. A lot of you guys might be raising your eyebrows right now, or might be an audible gasp coming out of your mouth or whatever. The first word's going to be disappointing, because Tennessee failed to reach the College World Series. And I've never said that it's championship or bust. It is so difficult to win a College World Series. It is so difficult to win an NCAA tournament championship. That's why those coaches that have made several Final Fours, Kay, Izzo, Williams, of course, Calipari, you know, a lot of these coaches that have made all these, you know, Final Four appearances, it's why they're some of the greatest that have ever done it, or greatest of all time, right? Because it's so challenging in a tournament sport. Baseball, I mean, just think about it. It's such a long season, and then you play in the SEC like Tennessee did. You're playing the best of the best each and every week, the best baseball players that go on to play in Major League Baseball one day. You've got an SEC schedule that's just gruesome. Then you have an SEC tournament you got to get through in Hoover. And then you play regionals, which is kind of a round-robin situation with four teams. And then you make it to super regionals, where it's the best of a three-game series. And then once you go to Omaha, it's the final eight teams, and it's, again, a round-robin time situation, double elimination, before you get to the championship round, before it's the best of a three-game series again. Have I confused anybody that doesn't follow college baseball? Raise your hand if I have, all right? Again, I'm not going to act like I've been the longest college baseball fan in the world. I cover Tennessee, and when Tennessee became good, and there was a there was a want for Tennessee coverage, I started covering Tennessee baseball on my platforms that I'm a part of, and I've not been the only one. So I'm not gonna act like I knew all that before last year, because I didn't, to be completely honest with you. All right, but it's so challenging to win a College World Series championship. It is. So I was never in the camp, especially with where Tennessee's come. Right, it has gotten better and better and better and better with Tony Vitello. And then last year it jumped on the scene. It won the NL East, some Atlanta Braves mindset. It won the SEC East last year. It went on and it made the College World Series. It made the championship game in the tournament championship game in Hoover. It made an appearance in the College World Series, and it went over two. All right. I think I've been pretty consistent in saying that Tennessee absolutely needed to make it back to Omaha, and it needed to win a game. And of course, then you're playing with house money, right? Because you don't want to make it back to Omaha and have an 0-2 record again. So that was my expectation once Tennessee, not to begin the season, no, but when Tennessee got to the point where I said, okay, clearly Tennessee is the best team in the entire country. And I still believe that. Tennessee was the best team in the entire country this year. How many times do the best teams in a certain league or conference or whatever don't win a championship? It happens all the time. But you know, we're not going to look back and say, oh, but that one team was so good. No, we're going to look back and say, who won the championship, right? The Atlanta Braves last year. I mean, gosh, they didn't get over 500 until August the 5th. I went to a game in July when they just acquired Jock Peterson. I'm like, all right, I like Jock Peterson. I like him, but he ain't going to win a World Series for Atlanta. You got to go out and get more pieces. And they did, right? That's just one example. So my thought process always was get back to Omaha, win a game, and then play with house money, see what happens. I've also been consistent in saying, if you don't get, since Tennessee was the clear-cut best team in the country about mid-year, I said, if you don't get to Omaha, it will be a disappointment. And I stand by that. It is a disappointment. Now, it's disappointing that the season's over. It's disappointing that Tennessee did not advance out of super regional play. Tennessee could have, you know, tucked its tail between its legs and folded on Saturday, but no, it responded like a champ, came back and blistered Notre Dame in the fifth inning, scored 12 runs in that game, and lived to fight another day, right? So give it credit. But it's disappointing overall that Tennessee didn't make it out of super regional play. So that's my take. It's disappointing. Is it a failure? I'm not one to ever say this is a failure. Think of, and again, I'm not wearing orange-shaded sunglasses. I'm not trying to play into the home crowd. This is just me talking, okay? And we can have conversations about this. And a lot of you guys have asked me about this as well. Think of everything Tennessee accomplished this year. Program record for wins, SEC consecutive win streak, SEC series wins to begin a season, most wins at a home stadium, leading the nation in home runs, leading the nation in team ERA, freshman of the year, SEC pitcher of the year, all these first-teamers, all these freshman notables. Think of how much Tennessee accomplished. And again, I know no one celebrates this, but, you know, won an SEC East title for the second straight year, won an SEC tournament, won the SEC regular season outright. Again, those aren't the ultimate goals at the end of the day. I recognize that, and I'm not trying to minimize Tennessee losing in super regional action. But I'm not going to sit here and see that this team And I agree with Ben, it's one of the best Tennessee baseball teams ever in program history. It truly is. And I can say it's one of the best teams in program history. I didn't say it was the best team in program history because it didn't make it to Omaha. But it's one of the best teams in program history, absolutely. Look at how this season, look at the stat sheet. You know, for the love of the game, right? Kevin Costner says, in baseball, we count everything. Stats don't lie. Look at it, man. I mean, this is one of the best teams in the country, without a doubt, in terms of stat-wise, but in program history. So it is one of the best teams in program history. I'm not going to say that this season is a failure. I will say this season is absolutely a disappointment. It's a disappointing end to the season because you were the best team in the country almost wire to wire, almost, okay? And it makes it worse, salting the wounds, I understand, because of the way Tennessee plays with the fur coat, the daddy hats, talking, chirping, flipping off, rounding first base, Drew Gilbert F-bombing, getting suspended. I get all that. And it's just, you know, other fan bases just pile on and pile on and pile on. I recognize that. And that's what makes it a little bit worse. And that's what makes it so satisfying for our fellow, you know, SEC, you know, hosts around the Locked On Podcast Network or fan bases that are getting at you. You guys all have friends that probably don't root for Tennessee. I'm sure they're letting you know about it now. It is what it is. But the question is this a failed season? Absolutely, it's not a failed season. Is it a disappointing season? Yes. And I will stand by that because, again, in 5 to 10 years, when I look back at the 2022 Tennessee baseball team, the first word that comes to my mind will be disappointing because it didn't reach Omaha when it absolutely should. I'm not saying it should have won the whole thing. It was the bet online betting favorite. We talked about it. We had it in my library. We had it on social media. It was the overwhelming betonline.net College World Series champion favorite. I'm not saying it should have won the championship. I said it should have got the Omaha, and it can't go 0-2. And because it failed to do that, that's why I say not a failed season, but a disappointment. What do you guys think? @_Kaner, Locked On Vols. Chime in with Twitter Tuesday, that and some more, whatever you got. YouTube comments. We'll have a day on it tomorrow reading about them. For those of you guys that aren't necessarily baseball fans but jumped in a little late and started having fun with this team, let me know about it. You know, it's here for you. This show is ours, right? I try to do as much as I can to engage you guys and read stuff on the air and all that type of stuff. And I think that a lot of you guys like that, so I'm not going to stop. So a very baseball-heavy, baseball-centric Monday episode of Locked On Vols. You know football moves the meter. You know football pays my salary. You know that this podcast would not be what it is unless I didn't talk football every single day. You know I'll get back to football. But here on a Monday, after Tennessee falls 7-3 in Game 3 of the Knoxville Super Regional Championship, essentially, we're talking baseball here. Failure or disappointment? I say disappointment. I will not say failure. What say you? Regardless, it's been fun, man. It was a fun ride. Gosh, I love covering teams that are good. Makes it more enjoyable. Makes doing the job a lot of fun. Makes dealing with some fans, you know, better. Because, you know, fans, sure, for fanatic, get a little irritating sometimes. You know, we all can. It was a blast covering this team. It was so much fun covering this team. Can you imagine if football has a team like this? How much fun will we all have? That is for sure. All right, that'll do it here for this edition of Locked On Vols. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning in, making it your first listen, your first watch. Guys, thank you, and I appreciate it. Don't forget, Twitter Tuesday is coming up on tomorrow's show. Your questions, your comments, your concerns, Tennessee basketball, football, recruiting, baseball, whatever you got, @_Kaner and @LockedOnVols. Hey, make Locked On NBA Big Board your podcast your second listen. It gives fans the in-depth look, the biggest prospects, the latest player rankings, and, of course, the big boards. Follow Locked On NBA Big Board every single day on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you find your podcast. Guys, thanks so much. Had a blast. We'll do it again tomorrow for another edition of Locked On Vols.